If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I will arrive there in just a moment. Over the last week, or during last week's sermon, the challenging teaching that Peter has for us, and the submission to authority, that we are to be believers who are in submission to those whom God has set in place over us. Romans 13, verse 1 states, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Simply saying that what God has put in place as those authorities over us to maintain the peace, to restrain evil, we are to be in submission to them. And Peter used Jesus Christ himself as that example, as that model. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21 and following, it says, "For to this," meaning the submission to authority, "for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree that we might die to sin and live in righteousness." And I'll end there. So as Christ is our model, we are to follow this. And as challenging and even somewhat illogical it might be, given the esteem of some of those we have in civil authoritative positions. But we are to submit ourselves to these things. Now, here in chapter 3, Peter moves this discussion, this very same discussion of submission, from the public arena into the private. From our relationship with the public persona of authority to the home. Because now he moves to speak to wives and to husbands. And this is a necessary thing of which Satan now, through the worldly ways, is fighting so hard to disassemble. You see, it's necessary for Peter, the Holy Spirit, God, to bring this kind of discussion to us. And it's necessary that the home be ordered biblically. It is necessary that the relationship between the husband and wife follow biblical teaching closely. Because first, it's in obedience to God. But also, it is the very core foundation to our society. It is the very core foundation. I might go so far as to say to the church, because the church is referred to as a bride, Jesus Christ himself as the bridegroom. And so there is that relationship of submission to the authority of the church to Jesus Christ as the bridegroom. So here, when we start talking about the personal family, yes, it's in obedience to God and his design. Yes, it is the illustration, if you will, to the church. But then as we move to the secular idea, to the worldly created order, it's the very core foundation of our society. And folks, those of you who know history much, much better than I do, you look down through the annals of history, and when that nucleus of the core family breaks down, so does the society. Why is Satan fighting so hard that we as a people accept marriage differently than the biblical design? Why? Because it represents God's decreed will. And Satan himself knows how important that core family is. And that's his attack. So we must do everything in the family structure. Now, please hear me when I say family structure. That's a very inclusive term. I know we have single folks here. But single folks have great influence over children. Single folks have great influence over grandchildren. This is to all of us. So please, please. I don't mean to discriminate. I don't mean to exclude anyone in this language. But this is the core. This is a core structure. The relationship between the man and the wife is the cement that holds the family together. Now, if you would please join me in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And I would ask that you listen clearly. I know you do always, but listen to the language. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I do pray for the understanding of this holy word as we delve into it here this morning. First of all, that word, or in some of your Bibles it may be a phrase, but that word likewise. You see it there in verse 1 and also in verse 7. Some of your translations may say, in the same way. All right, that is simply a transitional phrase to mean to say that Peter is continuing the discussion he began in chapter 2. In chapters 2, he spoke of the submission to civil authorities, even if they mistreated us. Also speaking of servants, that they should be subject to their masters. So whatever Peter is about to say here in chapter 3 is under the same umbrella of what he has said already in chapter 2. Now, please hear what he has said to wives and husbands follows in equality. Follows in equality. Wives and husbands are equally addressed here. They are equally being told, instructed, taught this idea of submission. And they are being taught equally. Now, let me differentiate one bit. Equal in submission, yes, but differently in the context of their roles within the family. First of all, to the husband. The husband is to be submissive to the Lord first and then to the wife, but differently than the wife is being called on to be submissive to the Lord and then to the husband. Both are being told to be submissive, but then in the particular context of which we'll see, it's done differently. Please hear me well. Please hear me well. There is no inferiority being taught here whatsoever. There is no ranking of one greater or lesser than being taught here. Please hear that clearly. And I will try to bring this out as we go through, but in general, what is said to the wife is said to the husband. And what is said to the husband is said to the wife. And then we must learn to the context of which we apply. There is equality in submission, yet a difference in performance. And brothers and sisters, it is very much like the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are equal in power, in authority, in their divinity. They are equal in substance and in essence. There is no inferiority of one above or below the other in the Trinity. But there is a difference in function. And in that difference in function, one is given subjection to the other. The Father decrees. And then the Son fulfills and submits to the will of the Father. What did Jesus Christ say over and over and over again? I come here to do my Father's will. He's God, just like God the Father. Yet in function, the Father has decreed, the Son fulfills. He's in submission. The Holy Spirit, begotten of the Father and of the Son, follows the Father's decrees and follows and fulfills the Son's actions. What did Jesus teach in the 15th chapter of the book of John? I must go away, and another must come. Jesus could not do what the Holy Spirit was given to do. But Jesus had to first fulfill the work, and then the Holy Spirit in submission came and brought that power of that work to you and I. Equal in authority, equal in power, different in context, different in performance. It's the same way with a husband and wife. Verse 1, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that, even if some do not obey the word, they might be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Here, the wife is to be in submission to the headship of the husband. Now, we see this most clearly delineated in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm sorry to say, ladies, many times you are beat up over that passage. Ephesians 5:21, husband, be in submission to the headship of your husband. Wives, be in submission to the headship of your husband. I think I said that right. But they never mention verse 20. Verse 20 starts out, says, we all are to be in submission to these. So again, there is equality. But here, the Holy Spirit is teaching that the wife is to be in submission to the husband. That is a spiritual, theological issue set up by the design of God. It does not mean one is inferior or greater than the other whatsoever. But here, Peter moves it to the place of saying, your respectful and quiet spirit, wife, may be the very thing that will be used to convert your husband if he's not a believer. Folks, I've seen this happen. My dad was not a believer the entire time I was home. But my mom and I, my brother and sister, every Sunday up and going to church. Jimmy going to church? No. Okay, boom. And then thankfully, when I was 20 years old, God called my dad to himself. And my mother had lived out that testimony in front of him. And so, wife, hear what's being said. The wife's actions should consist of a respectful and quiet spirit, allowing her conduct. It's what Peter is teaching here. Her conduct, her inner heart, her inner self, her spirit, to be the thing that he might use to convert. Verse 3. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. The wife should not overtly, excessively adorn herself, spending too much time, money, on those externals. The putting on of jewelry, the excessiveness of clothes, the excessiveness of makeup, an undue or excessiveness of an outward appearance. That should not be the prime factor of a wife. And again, it's the heart, because it follows closely here to verse 4. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. Meaning, wife, let your heart be your most attractive part. Let the spirit within you be that thing that adorns your beauty. an heart with imperishable beauty, a gentle and quiet spirit. We are told here in Scripture that is what's precious to God. So let me follow here quickly. Does that mean that a wife should not seek to look her best? Get up, throw your bathrobe on, and come on. Does that mean the wife should not do the thing necessary to fix her hair? That there's to be absence of jewelry altogether? That is not what this is saying. That's not what this is saying at all. This is speaking to an excessiveness. And I fall back on the Scripture that teaches a temperance in everything we do. Temperance of life, temperance of eating, temperance of drinking, temperance this, temperance that, etc., etc. Here again, temperance. It's an excessiveness, a desire to cover and hide, a desire to use external adornments, to be the thing that the man remembers. Now, I'll be honest with you, dressing properly, dressing nicely, looking nicely, those are necessary things as a part of our society. But when you cross that line, and the excessiveness in dress and jewelry and makeup and money spent and time spent, etc., etc., that is what Peter is speaking against. These things should not be a priority. They should not be used as a cover or a mask, because your inner beauty, your inner heart is what God is asking to be revealed. And please, ladies, do not look at this call of submission and restraint to make one weak or to make you put you in a dismissive position, because these are the things of Christ. A meek and humble spirit, that is Jesus Christ. He was meek and lowly and had a gentle and quiet spirit, yet he was anything far from weak. He was meek and lowly, but yet he had great, great power. And ladies, the lady that discovers the power and the influence to be had that originates in a gentle, quiet, and a peaceful spirit is indeed a woman of great, great beauty, and can be a woman of great, great influence. And see, there's the point that Peter is after, is that influence may be used to be the thing that converts those that are unsaved. And then Peter moves to the example of Sarah. The holy women of old who hoped in God. Sarah he uses as an example and said she obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Surely she really didn't do that. Surely. Well, yes she did. Genesis 18:12. Referred to him as Lord. Verbally called him Lord. But yet, let's look at Abraham before we get into the essence of this. Did Abraham deserve to be called Lord? Abraham allowed Sarah to be given to another man, referred to Sarah as his sister so that he wouldn't be killed. Good man. She was almost prostituted to another man. So surely, Abraham, Lord, Lord. No, not at all. But see, his actions were not the reason she referred to him as Lord. She referred to him as Lord because it revealed the honor and respect she had for him as a man of God, as the husband, but more than anything else, she referred to him as Lord in obedience to this teaching that God has set in place. Her referring to Abraham as Lord had nothing to do with Abraham, except that he heard the words. It was to God that she was being obedient to. And see, this word Lord, it's not that you must go and address your husband, oh Lord, oh Lord. No, 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 don't go there. Although I do hear that term. But what comes behind that term, what comes behind that word is what is important. It shows honor. It shows respect. It shows obedience. It shows obedience to what God has taught us to be and to do in this order of life, in order of our families. This is where we should be. Now, to the husbands. Ladies, catch your breath. Now to the husbands. Husbands, please notice, verse 7, the first word is likewise. So everything that I've just said, everything that Peter has just written, applies to you equally. Applies to you equally in your context. Remember I said there's equal in submission, but yet there's a difference in how that submission is fulfilled. It may be the wife that's not the believer. It may be the wife that the two of you married as non-believers and you became a believer and she's not, etc. They may be different, many, many stories, many, many examples here. But it may be the wife that's not the believer, and so now you are called on to have that honoring, respectful, quiet attitude, fulfilling your responsibilities and love and care for her. And like the ladies, don't be consumed by externals. Don't be consumed with these worldly ways. Don't be consumed with expensive clothing and the excessiveness of our wear. We should not be into spending much money on these outward kinds of things. Raised in the banking industry of Charlotte, if I walked downtown with this pair of shoes on right now, I'd be laughed out of there. Because if you couldn't see yourself in them, you didn't fit. Walking in with a $300, $400 suit, you wouldn't make it. But see, that external was the persona of status. And he may have been the biggest creep you ever met, but he looked good. See, Peter here is saying, away with that. And we men are as caught up into that many ways as some of the ladies are. Peter is saying, do not be given to an excessive nature in these things. The externalness. Yes, men, it's good to look nice. Yes, men, it is good to care for oneself. But the excessiveness, that should not, that outward, ostentatious, flamboyant, physical appearance should not be our aim. I truly wish Jesus Christ himself could walk through that door right now and you could see what he would look like in the first century. Dark, dark skin. So dark it would make many of you uncomfortable. Brown eyes. Skin, very dark, tattered. These portraits of Jesus Christ that make him, is it coiffed? Coiffed hair and blue eyes. Seriously? His clothes would have been dirty. He slept outside most of the time. That's our model. That's our example. Because it only took one word for you to see his spirit, his inner self, his compassion, his love, his mercy and generosity. That's what the people drew to. Not one person do I read of in Scripture and go and say, you know, that's a good-looking man. Now, in the Old Testament, they got hung up on that a little bit. But Jesus Christ, yeah, he's a good-looking man. Let's go follow him. Gentlemen, the same teaching as it was for the ladies. Now, Sarah called Abraham Lord. So, gentlemen, what should we refer to our wives as? Remember, there's equality. Just do it differently. What word would you think? I got one for you. How about queen? How about queen? and the fullness of that word. Now, gentlemen, you don't have to refer to your wife as queen literally, although I think she might like to hear that from time to time. But in using that word, is that the way you treat her? Is that the way you esteem her? Is that the way you uplift and uphold her in front of others? Dr. Kick, in his counseling classes that I took, that he would say, and then he would give us examples as we would be out in public in different arenas, when you hear a man speak of his wife. Dr. Kick professed, and I saw it many times, within the first 2 or 3 minutes of him speaking of her, you could tell about their relationship. You could hear it in his language. You could hear it as to how he would speak of her. And when we say queen, when we say that this is the weaker vessel that is to be respected and honored and upheld and treated like royalty. I see a lot of you men smiling. I hope that means you're guilty of this. Rather than, you forget that. I'll ask some of you which it is, because I see you smiling. In verse 7 it says, and we read on, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you in the grace of life. We are to live with our wives in an understanding way, a knowledgeable way, as some texts will give it, meaning. Gentlemen, meaning, we are to know our wives completely. We are to know her strengths and her weaknesses. We are to know her likes and her dislikes. We are to know her intimately and thoroughly, because I am her head. And as being her head, it is my responsibility to care for, provide for, protect, and to teach, as Paul says in Ephesians, to bathe her with the word and prepare her for eternity. That's what you do to a queen. That's how you treat a queen. The weaker vessel. In God's design, this is true. This is a true statement. Now, however, for many in today's world, calling the wife weak or the weaker vessel would be tantamount to war, if I said this in the wrong circles. Our society has done so much to obliterate the woman's true inner strength and beauty. Our Lord's design for a woman and her strength and beauty and character is many ways, ladies, and you know this better than I, but in many ways it's being challenged at every turn. If you don't look like this, if you don't look like this, if you don't look, then... And you know the sad thing? Our young ladies are growing up in this culture and are being so incredibly confused with what it means to be a woman. Just like the men, the young men in this world are growing up with a Homer syndrome. With all due respect to my grandsons, duh. Most people think that's a man. Stupid. The world in its secular ways, its Satan ways, is confusing this entire model. So why would we be surprised that our young ladies and our young men are growing up going, why is the suicide rate among teens greater now than it ever has been in history? Because they are being shown a model from hell, and they can't rationalize it, and it makes no sense to them. And so they must be failures. The husband is to show great honor and respect for the wife. He should speak to her and of her respectfully, in glowing terms always. Proverbs 31:29, many women have done excellently, but you, wife, you, wife, you have surpassed them all. Men, that should be our thinking. And this should not only be our words, but it should be our impressions. It should be how we portray our wives to others. And then here's the outcome. Here's the outcome. The last half of verse 7 says, "And your heirs with you, each of your heirs, of the grace of life, and you do all these things, husband, you do all these things, wife, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Men, ladies, if we do not do these things, then our prayer life, our worship, will be hindered. Our prayer life, our worship, will be tainted and hindered, are the words of Peter, the Holy Spirit. Folks, I chored and labored greatly over this sermon. I know this can be a very challenging for some, many, all. I don't know, given the society we live in. And you may be challenged. It may be possible that knowingly or unknowingly, that those who are challenged by this wording is living a life and created beliefs following the secular world. If this message challenges you, then I would dare say you're following a secular pattern. However, for those who live their lives, his, her life, following a biblical worldview, and hears this message, our response should be as simple as yes and amen. Meaning yes, and so let it be. Now, I know, this is the biblical design. And biblical design is what we all strive for, I pray. But sin, disobedience is everywhere. We fail at this daily. We fail at this as a church, as a culture, as a people. I could give you illustrations, but that would embarrass. Every one of you knows stories in this room, your own, et cetera, et cetera. So that's no need for me to do that. While some may think this kind of marriage is just not the way ours works, but wouldn't you want it to be? And so we pray, Lord, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us when I didn't know this biblical teaching. I'm just uncomfortable doing this. I don't necessarily believe that like that. Well, I've fulfilled my role now. And it was to preach this sermon. What you do with it is between you, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. And I go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, when he said, "For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." Folks, this is following in Christ's steps. That simple. I know our society is warring against it, but this is the biblical model, and I pray we all desire this. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and I do pray for your presence among us to fulfill this word. Holy Spirit, come and encourage, edify, convict. but let us live according to the ways that you have for us. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. Amen.